Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I had a comment on one thing and I have a question also. I wanted to comment on one word where it said, we shall be changed in a moment. That word moment in the Greek, it's the word atomos. I think it's spelled A-T-O-M-U-S, I think.
Adam.
Yeah, and the literal meaning is the smallest particle. So they took it as the smallest particle in time, which came the word moment. But if you look at that word, A-T-O-M-U-S, you can realize what word of ours came from that word, and it's the atoms. So the atoms is also the smallest particle, only not in time. So to me, that's important because it's not so much like that's where that thinking comes in, where one person is sitting at the bowling alley and he disappears and the other guy's still sitting there, you know. That would be the in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But what's more important is that change is going to come in our atoms. And it might be in the twinkling of an eye time-wise. But the important thing to realize is that change is coming in our atoms. In our very being, we're going to be changed, you know. And so, and then the question I had was, do your best, Mark, to explain the difference between a spiritual body and a resurrected body, because it says we're sown a natural body and we're raised a spiritual body. And yet Jesus in his resurrection, when they could see him and touch his hands and stuff, he must have had some form to him. So what's the difference between a spiritual body and a resurrected body? And which one are we going to have? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I see it. They're one and the same. A resurrected body is a spiritual body.
Okay. So then a spiritual body must have some form of natural body, right?
It is in the form of a body. But it, like I said, it doesn't obey the laws of physics that we have that govern the way this earth runs. This body can go right through a solid door,
yeah,
without being changed. And so theoretically, if you want to talk about time travel, this would be the body to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I believe in time travel. I'm saying if it were possible, that would be the kind of body. I mean, the scientists are speculating about these kind of things, but they don't understand it. They don't know. They don't understand anything about a spiritual body. At least most scientists don't. I shouldn't say all. There might be a few Christian scientists out there that do believe, but these big astronomers and unbelievers and Carl Sagan type of people, they don't understand this. They try to figure it out with their Einstein theories and this type of thing.
Yeah. But one other thought on the matter. One time, Terry St. Louis and I were in Seattle, Washington, building a house for my brother. And Terry and I were both staying in this room. And I woke up in the middle of the night one night and I saw, I guess I could use the word saw, I was aware of there was a spirit in the room. I knew exactly where it was. It was right over in this certain corner of the room and it was standing over Terry's bed looking at him, like sizing him up spiritually, you know. And so there was no form there whatsoever, and yet I knew exactly where that thing was. And so it's making me wonder, well, what there are spirits without any form of a body, and yet we're saying that a spiritual body and a resurrected body are the same thing, and there is a form to that. So I don't know. That's just a thought that came to me.
Well, Mike, if you saw a spirit, you undoubtedly saw a demon.
Yes.
Most, and they can appear in this little cloud like evidence that they are. They could appear maybe, and you would get a glimpse of them as if it were a body, but it's not a body, it's a spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
You know, now I'll leave it be.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, please, is there a difference between the state and the body of Jesus, or the final, what he was at the end, and what Adam was at the beginning? I mean,
there is, yes, there must be. There must be. Adam had flesh. Yeah, we know he took a rib out of him. He had bones, he had flesh. And they were male and female. So yes, Adam was different. The original Adam was different than we're going to be. Adam was meant to populate the earth, multiply, till the garden, you know. He had an earthy job to do, but the curse came into that body then and took a lot of life out of it. Changed a little DNA in that body too. Somehow that DNA got changed again after the flood. I'm not sure how, but we don't live 900 years anymore.
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, the looking at the spiritual body and the resurrected body, like I did mention, they are about one and the same thing. It is the same body that has been glorified, and it has the ability to behave like a spirit.
Yes.
If we notice, it has an ability. The body could become, you know, could even change, but it was still physical. Like if we notice in the appearances of Jesus, of the Lord, when he appeared to Mary, she couldn't recognize him as the Lord. He looked like the gardener, and the wounds on his hands were not there. But when he appeared to the brethren going to Emmaus, they didn't notice any wound on his hands as he ate with them, and he disappeared. But when he came to the disciples in John, where Brother Thomas, you know, had a break and wasn't there, he showed Thomas the wounds on his palms and his sides. So there was some ability to, you know, change for that body to appear in different forms. And then, like was having said, the body had the ability to break the laws of nature. It will pass through the walls and stuff. Amen. So the spiritual body is one that had the ability to operate like a spirit. Now, in time, sometimes God allowed a people to have some spotlights on that. A man like Elijah was given that little window. So Elijah could be here, and you say, "Where are you?" And he's gone. So he could disappear. He could appear and disappear. The same thing with Brother Philip, who was with the Ethiopian eunuch. 1 minute, next minute was in Azotus. So, you know, those were just signs that God dropped along the way to give an idea to us, I believe, on what the body will be when it is resurrected. So the spiritual body is the same body as the resurrected body. That is my thought on that. Now, the other one that was asked about, is there a difference between what we are going to be and what Adam was at the beginning? Now, Adam at the beginning, this the scripture calls Jesus Christ the second man and the second Adam. You know, so to me, they look quite similar. Quite similar, except that the first Adam, the husband of Eve, he still had a choice to make between eating the tree and becoming like God, and then disobeying God. So if he had eaten the tree, you know, of life, he would have metamorphosed to what, you know, he was meant to be. But Jesus, on the other end, our Lord, he was also brought forth as Adam, as the first man, but he didn't yield himself to the temptations of the devil. So he just continued. I don't know what I'm making any point. So Jesus Christ resurrected is very similar to Adam before his fall. It was his fall that cut him off from continuing in what God wanted him to be. So there's a similarity between Adam before he fell and Jesus Christ. Praise God. Just a comment.
Hello. I want to just contribute to what Broide just said. I believe, I may be wrong, that the difference between the final state of Jesus after resurrection and that of Adam is just that Adam had blood in him. Jesus didn't have blood in him. Their constitutions were different. I think that is the only thing in 1 John or so. God clearly put it there. What should be in heaven and what should not be in heaven. And one of it is that flesh and blood will not be in heaven. And in this particular case, I think that blood was the difference between Adam and Jesus. In the case of Jesus, he had flesh, and that flesh is not the flesh of man. It's a resurrected flesh, because he showed it to the disciples, that they should look at the points of nail on him. They should put hand, telling Thomas, and confirm. So there was flesh. But that flesh is not the flesh that Adam had. So that confirms also the scripture in 1 John. I think it's 1 John, that flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom. So these are the differences between their constitutions that I can recognize or understand. Praise God.
Amen. Brother Edie mentioned that when Mary first appeared to Jesus at the tomb, he would not allow her to touch him. And that was not because he didn't have something that she could touch, but he gave the reason that he had not yet ascended to the Father, I believe.
Yeah.
So what we have, I believe, and you can tell me I'm wrong, what we have, I believe, is he is acting as the high priest, okay? And he had to take the sacrifice of his blood to the mercy seat, the heavenly mercy seat, and put that blood upon the mercy seat for our full redemption. And in the days of Moses, when the high priest was all prepared to go into the Holy of Holies, he was clean. No man could touch him to bring any contamination upon him. He had gone through the ritual of cleansing until he took that blood in and put it on the mercy seat. So that's what Jesus apparently, she caught him right there, right after the resurrection and before he had gone to the heavenly tabernacle, the Holy of Holies.
Go ahead. About the powers of the Holy to come, which some of us are testing now. We hear of Peter walking on the sea with Jesus and a few other miracles that we hear of. Human beings that were relating properly with God here on earth. So I think these things prepare our minds. They'll cause you for test. They are testing the powers that are about to come upon us. So I want to assure us that we are at the right time and at the right place. That as we keep on believing God, the Holy Spirit will keep transforming our souls such that the elements that hold us back here on the earth will be less powerful upon our life. So before we know it, the past of the scripture, God says, when you shall see him, he shall be as he is. So that's my conclusion here. Praise God.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother, if you've got something to share.
Just to maybe we'll still look at it later some other times to wonder. Now, this new body, this new heaven, and the new earth, you know, the way it is resurrected. Now, at what time are we going to be operating it in fullness? We have a sketch from what we have been learning between now and there's the last 3.5 years. last 3.5 years, which would be the eve of the 1,000 years. I don't know if I'm correct, but you know, basically that is what I've been learning from the teachings, that there is a 3.5 years to complete the 3.5 years that Jesus Christ left, looking at Daniel 70th week. And at the end of that or so, we're going to enter into the 1,000 year reign. And, you know, so at what point will this body be in use? At what point are we going to, and I'm just saying that we're using this kind of power, because we're talking about an amount of power being exercised. Will it be used during the millennium, during the 1,000 year reign of Christ? Hello?
Amen. Uh-huh. Are you saying at what point in the 1,000 years will we have this spiritual body?
Yes, I'm wondering what time. Does it looks to me like this spiritual body will be in operation during this 1,000, during the 1,000 year reign of Christ?
Well, yes, that's at his coming, at his parousia. You know, the trumpet blows, everything else, we're caught up to meet him. That's when we're changed.
Okay.
That's when the resurrection of the righteous takes place. Right there at that point. And then they rule and reign with him for 1,000 years.
Okay.
Now, what happens at the end of the 1,000 years? We have only a few clues. Okay, we have Gog and Magog coming against the saints, whatever that represents, that spirit, you know, of Gog and Magog, that spirit that you find in the northern regions of, you know, like in Russia, and this type of spirit. Amen. But it doesn't say much after that. So the 1,000 years, yes, rule and reign with him with a spiritual body. Now, there will be natural people here on earth, okay, during that time. There will be natural people. I don't know, maybe your grandchildren. Who knows?
I was just going to comment on the fact of the no blood. You know, it says that he said he had flesh and bone, but no blood. Right now, blood is the power source of our bodies. You know, it's what supplies life to us, is our blood. And it said it is the spirit that quickeneth. So when we have our other bodies and don't have blood, it's going to be spirit that's the power that's powering our bodies, which is a much higher form of power. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead.
Yeah, Christ gave his blood. He poured it out already. It's now his blood is now a spiritual thing that we appropriate for the forgiveness of sin, for the healing, for, you know, for all that we need. He poured his blood out for us. It's gone. He gave it. He became the blood sacrifice.
So is there a scripture that says that we are going to be flesh and bone? Is there a scripture that says that we, the Christians, the brethren, I know that Jesus Christ said that he was flesh and bone. From what you have just said, I was flesh and bone. But the question is there a scripture that clearly says that we are going to be flesh and bone?
I don't know if there's a scripture that says it, but it does say we're going to be like Christ. So I would assume we would be just like him in that same way, that we'd have flesh and bone.
Because the reason why I'm asking is because the blood of Jesus, like what Mark just said, the blood of Jesus was perfect. It had no sin in it. The main difference between the blood of Jesus and our blood presently is that our blood was polluted. It has sin in it. The sin is in the blood. But Jesus' blood did not have any sin. So what happened was that he gave up all his blood, and spiritually, when we now receive that blood that has no sin into our own system. The mechanics of how that works with my natural blood, I can't explain. But the reason why flesh and blood cannot inherit is because the flesh and blood, as we know it today, has sin in it. Because at the beginning, Adam had flesh and blood. And yet he was operating. If you look at how he was operating, just the Lord will come to him in the cool of the day. And he has so much fellowship with the Lord. And from what we have learned, he had control over the animals. He had dominion until he sinned. It is the sin that came into his blood that began to cause the problem. So I'm wondering, because when you look at Elijah, we look at Brother Enoch, we look at Moses. They went with their body, spirit, soul, and body. It's in the heavens. So I don't know at what point their blood, was taken out. But if there is a perfection, if every sin is taken away from the blood, then I need to study it. I need to look at it. So I'm sure that it says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But if that flesh and blood is flesh and blood that is being subjected and defiled by sin, something to study for myself.
Yeah, the term flesh and bone, I just looked it up real quick. The term flesh and bone appears quite a number of times in the Old Testament. The first time is when Adam saw Eve. He said, "Now this is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone." But he never mentioned blood. And several times it was mentioned in Job. Satan, you touch his flesh and touch his bone, never mention blood. I think David made the statement sometimes to Israel, "You are flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone." The term was used in several times to indicate that you're of my own kind, you're of my own flesh and bone, but never mentions blood. Never mentions to their cousins that you're of my blood. You're my flesh and my bone. Interesting. Yeah.
One thought on that, Mark, would be, flesh and bone is the same thing. And blood is where our life is. So that's something that you maybe can't say, this person's of my blood, because maybe he's not a saved person, whereas a saved person has a difference there, So that's just a thought on that.
Amen. Brother Daniel, you haven't said a thing today. You must have something to share.
Yeah, I'm I'm joining, listening. It's good. But we need to realize one thing, brethren, that we are having a carnal body. But when we put on Christ, we have also a spiritual body. And we use our carnal body to go to our neighbor and give him a kick in his ass. That is how we used to use our carnal body. But our spiritual body, we use that to praise God and worship God and go into heaven and fight from heaven. And this two body, they are not always a quite good friend to one another. They like to fight for one another, against one another. But the spiritual body got a better promise, because like Joshua and now like Esau and Jacob, that Jacob got his firstborn right. So the blessing of the firstborn, it goes to the second body. So when we see that our spiritual body gets stronger and stronger, this carnal body, he just got big, smaller and smaller. He become our little brothers, and then he become our uncle, and he end up with a, we don't know him anymore. But the resurrection body is something totally another thing. Resurrection body is something that have to lay down for a while, the carnal body, and let it die, and then go and pick it up again. And the resurrection body have authority to use the both. He can disappear and he can come forth. Jesus came after he was resurrected and said to Thomas, just touch my hand, feel the hole in my hand. And then he believed. That is what not what he said to Mary when she came to the grave. He said, don't touch me, I'm not resurrected yet. So in the meantime, he was resurrected. But now he had authority. He could come forth, or he could be invisible. So a resurrection body is something that we are heading into. And I personally believe that when Jesus got his glorified body on the mountain with Moses and Eli, he was dressing all the glory that is in the resurrection, because he was also a human like me and you. And there was no possibility for him to go through this days that was ahead of him, beating, rejected, nailed to a cross, left alone without the Father, without having this glorified body. His Father, God in heaven, he could not go with him through this. He had to let him go through this alone. And why was it? Because if God had went with him to the death, death had been destroyed right away. God could not go through death and hell without that they would be destroyed in the moment, because it is not in the nature of God. Everything that is opposite of God will be destroyed by his presence. So he had to say to him, my son, this is something that you have to go through alone. But I have said, I have put within you the spirit of resurrection. And when you rise up, you're going to pick up your body. And when you pick up your body, you can use it like you want. And this spirit of resurrection is now within us because we have put on Christ. And we are waiting and waiting and waiting for the moment that the body of Christ on earth will show forth in glory. And it will show from in glory, we will have everything that we need to go through the end time time. So that's what I feel is the difference between earthly body, spiritual body, and resurrected body. I think spiritual body is really a united body between spirit and the soul. But resurrection body is not only led by spirit, but it's led by Christ within us. Because there is a different, when Jesus turned water into wine, he's showing us that the Christ is coming forth in the Holy Spirit within us. The wine is going to be filled. So we are waiting, but we have this promise. The promise of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham was to be a seed bearer, to bring forth a seed and be best blessed by bearing the seed until the time came. Now the promise of the seed is going to come forth and Jesus was born. The songs of Mary, and he was singing that she was the best of all women because she had Christ within her. It's our song. It's a song of our soul, having Christ within us. So, blessing to you all.
You know, there have been those who have been translated. I think Brother Edie mentioned Philip. And I have known people that have been translated. Sister Barbara got translated one time into Romania, I believe it was. She went into a prison in Romania, translated. And I asked her what it was like. And she said when she came back and went back into her body or into whatever, it would seem that God can give you a spiritual body anytime he wants. And he gave it to Philip, but he didn't keep it like that. He had to be Philip again. But he caught him away. Barbara was caught away and brought back to her house again. And I said, what was it like? And she said, oh, when I came back, I found the pain in my body. So what do you mean pain in your body? Oh, she said, you have always pain in your body. You're just not it's so common that you don't even think about it. This natural body is just full of pain. And when you have that spiritual body, all that pain is gone. You're just totally relieved of all the pressure and all the pain that we have. So, yeah, somebody sent a chat message here. And, but we shall be like him. As he is, we shall be like him. In other words, whatever he manifests that he had of his spiritual resurrected body, we shall be like him. Brethren, that gives me hope. Well, if we've covered the subject pretty well today, I guess we can come to a close. Is there anything else anybody needs to share? It's been good to be with you. I think we're learning to know each other a little better.
It's the most beautiful family, yes. Family in the world.
Yes.
And it is it's the best family in the world.
Yeah.
And God has put in this family everything that we need. And we don't have to search out. We don't have to make appointment or using many years to know someone. We have one another.
Amen. Patty adds the word transfigured. Translated, transfigured, transformed in the image of Jesus. All right, let's see. Is there any other chat message here I should read? Yeah, transformed, translated, transfigured. When he appears again, we shall be like him. Okay, that's good. All right, well, let us say, let me stop the recording here. And